You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
This just in, Perfection Auto Works drops the labor rates to combat inflation.
Hey, it's a bird! It's a plane!
No, it's Inflation Reduction Man.
I was shaving this morning and saw a flash in the mirror. Just got the call back from Perfection Auto Works that my AC is fixed and ready, and my bill was incredibly discounted. Thanks, Inflation Reduction Man.
I was looking up in the sky and saw this flash. When I picked up my car for repairs at Perfection Auto Works, my bill was way less than was estimated. Thanks, Inflation Reduction Man.
When you need to combat inflation on your car or truck, let Perfection Auto Works be your inflation-busting headquarters with our new 15% off on all repairs. Let Perfection be your Inflation Reduction Man. Call today, 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in Arizona. Homestyle Galleries saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Ina Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture.
What organizations sponsor the news you see on TV? Do you think these sponsorships affect the news reports about their products? Do these same organizations sponsor politicians? If you recognize that our current leaders represent their own interests far more than yours, if you question the political theater you're fed every day, and if you question the approved narrative, become engaged for freedom in the Pima County Libertarian Party, no matter your political party preference.
Check out PimaLP.org or find us on Facebook. Paid for by the Pima County Libertarian Party.
Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
I just finished listening to John C. Scott's radio show, and I want to thank you for being a sponsor, because he's got one of the most sensible voices on the radio here. And I've been back and forth to California, and many people on the radio over here aren't worth a damn. So thank you. Thank you for being a sponsor. And continue if you can.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the John C. Scott Political Forum from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. This show is worth a damn. Thank you for your comments. We are welcoming you to call us at any time and tell us what you think of what we do. With us today on the John C. Scott Political Forum, we'll have Scott Stewart, treasurer of the Libertarian Party in Pima County, former board member of the Pima Community College. Ed Ackerley will be with us. He's a candidate for mayor of Tucson. And then Larry Bodine breaks out what's happening with the Democrats of Greater Tucson. A great show, great lineup. Let's go with Scott Stewart to lead off our show. And welcome, Scott. Glad you could join us. Thank you so very, very much.
Hey, thanks for having me again, John. I always like coming on.
5 decades perspective on libertarianism. That's a history, a great history. Talk about how you got into this Libertarian Party.
Well, you know, they really started in my youth. Early on, you know, I noticed a lot of hypocrisy around me. I think all children do. That led me to becoming a kind of a cynic or a curmudgeon at an early age. I kind of delighted in pointing out unpleasant truths. My father, who died when he was really young, he was 45, I was 9, gave me just a little bit of insight before he died, much more after he died. But one of the things that he did was he did a charity drive for a Native American family on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. One family. A charity drive focused on one family. And I believe it worked well because that same family owns a bunch of trading posts in the Black Hills now. So they were able to do much better. But he got criticism from both the left and the right for that. On the left, how dare you help only one? You know, you should do a broader drive that helps a lot more people. And on the right, you know, these people have to learn to pick themselves up by their bootstraps, you know.
Or moccasin straps.
You know, and here it was, one person doing something effective and, you know, getting damned for it. And, you know, that taught me a lot. And then, you know, junior high, the place where you really see the school to prison pipeline, because they are run very much like prisons. I incurred some punishment and coercion over something I hadn't done. I had brushed some eraser crumbs off my desk. The former Marine who was leading the study hall walked up to me, pulled my hair, and said, "Why did you throw that paper?" And I said, "I didn't." And, you know, back and forth, accusation, denial. And then I said, "Is this what Mr. Nesbitt meant by due process being the distinguishing characteristic of America as opposed to totalitarian states?" I was amazed I didn't get the paddle then, but I did get a very dirty look, but I didn't get the paddle, and he eventually just walked away. But it taught me a great deal that, you know, a lot of our due process is really at our convenience. Then I looked at a lot of the events going around in the 60s, and I remember being told about, you know, free speech and how important it was, but, you know, only if people aren't listening to you. Once people start listening to you, the bullets start flying. I saw Johnson demonstrate that Democrats didn't understand civil rights with his suppression of protests. I saw Nixon demonstrating that Republicans didn't understand economics. He got rid of the gold standard, did wage and price controls. And in the 70s, you know, suddenly there was uranium in the badlands of South Dakota. And, you know, Native American sovereignty didn't mean as much as we thought it did, you know. So that chasm between what we say and what we do led me to becoming a small L libertarian and then eventually to a large L libertarian. There was an episode of South Park where one of the characters goes back in time to learn why we have a First Amendment. His name's Cartman. He's probably the most obnoxious character on the show. And he comes back after learning his lesson and says, "Well, fundamentally, it's so we can say one thing and do another."
And do another. Which we do.
Yes.
A lot. Absolutely. So all this was leading you to probably what you didn't know at the time,
right?
Libertarianism.
Yes. So I moved from South Dakota down here to go to school. I wanted to study astronomy and physics. And I ran into a guy running an information booth at the U of A campus for Roger McBride, who was then running for president. This was back in 1976. And that sort of got me interested in it. I mean, I'd read some of the usual books like Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand. But, you know, I had other friends who led me in different directions in reading. So I say my political philosophy was largely underpinned by Ayn Rand and Fyodor Dostoevsky.
Wow.
So, I mean, we read Crime and Punishment.
What a marriage that is.
Yeah, we read Crime and Punishment in high school, and you learn about, you know, extreme poverty and totalitarianism really in both books, but from very different perspectives.
So how did you get to the Libertarian Party from there?
Okay, well, so shortly after, you know, watching the McBride for President campaign, I decided to go ahead and register Libertarian, but I still wasn't active. I didn't get politically active until the Ross Perot for President campaign, who, you know, as you know, he ran as an independent. But his campaign really opened up my eyes to just how entrenched the two parties are and how married the media is to the fight between the two parties. Because the only thing that the media seemed to hate worse than Republicans was an independent. And Cokie Roberts, who I thought was a pretty center-left leaning journalist, in response to one of Ross Perot's former employees saying what a great guy and patriot he was, comparing that to a slave saying how good their master was. Like, where the heck does that come from?
Sure.
You know, that's just absolutely, absolutely crazy.
Well, it also is indicative, I think, of the press treatment of third parties, especially libertarians or any third party.
Yep.
But that's one of the reasons that I've been committed to, one, the exposure of the Libertarian Party through you and through other members, because I think it needs to be a part of our dialogue. And the thing that I've always believed is if either one of the major parties, Democrats or Republicans, would adopt some of the basic philosophies of the Libertarian Party, they'd be stronger and better, and so would America. And that's one contribution, I think, from time to time you meet, but not as often as it should be met.
Yes, and I always hope for that, too, and sometimes I see it. Most of the time, I don't. Most of the time, I see that Democrats and Republicans are really... As political entities, not as individuals. As individuals, everybody is great. But there's something about once you get elected and in an institution where it changes from the people's interests and even their own interest to the interests of their various backers. And that's unfortunately where a lot of it all falls down for me.
Well, money changed everything, didn't it? You know, and the idea that there's unlimited amounts of money involved in the political campaigns.
Yeah, but even created... trying to control it doesn't seem to have helped. I mean, no. McCain-Feingold just increased the paperwork a lot. It didn't fundamentally change anything. I mean, I remember Humphrey carrying literally bags of money for Nixon in the presidential campaign, but even that amount of money is dwarfed by what we have now. And money is always going to find a way into politics as long as politics has sufficient power to make people rich, destroy enemies, and reward friends. And that's where we have to get away from. We keep treating the symptom of money and not addressing the fact that, you know, Washington, D.C. in particular, but at all levels of government, where politics has its fingers in too many pieces of the pie. So many, in fact, that you can't keep track of them. So many that if everybody were pissed off at the government, they're pissed off at 1,000 different things instead of one or two or three things. In order to keep government under control, you have to make it small enough that you can tell what it's doing.
How vulnerable was democracy after January the 6th and after the campaigns of that election year?
You know, I remember there being a lot of election deniers in 2016. You know, Hillary is still one of them. So when we call people election deniers for 2020, I think we have to remember that there is a long, long history in this country of election fraud. In my lifetime, the big example, of course, is Kennedy defeating Nixon in Illinois with a lot of dead votes. You know, but Nixon was too decent to fight it. You know, but it goes back even before that. So I think there are plenty of reasons to be suspicious of any election. And let's just go back to right here in Pima County with the Regional Transportation Act that passed a number of years ago. And there were sufficient irregularities in that there were lawsuits that the Democrats, the Republicans, and the Libertarians participated in and ultimately won. But I want you to notice that the Republicans dropped out of it because they didn't want the money to stop flowing, And the Democrats also dropped out of it for the same reason, because there were enough interests that had, there were enough financial interests that had a stake in the outcome. So the Libertarians hung in there. The lawsuit was ultimately successful with an amazing outcome that the court felt it didn't have standing to reverse an election, even though fraud was proven. Now, I'm raising my hands and screaming, but I'm trying not to scream.
Well, I'll tell you what. Take control, and we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back with Scott Stewart, a former Pima Community College board member and treasurer of the Libertarian Party in Pima County, and celebrating 50 years of libertarianism. We'll be back in a moment to the John C. Scott Political Forum. Now this. Together, they brought a bit of France to the heart of Tucson. Guigny's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery at Prince and Campbell have become a gathering place for Tucsonans who love great bread and wonderful food. The bread and the pastries of La Baguette Bakery have become a Tucson favorite, and Guigny's French Cafe offers casual atmosphere, delightful French cuisine, and moderate prices. Dine in or dine out, Guigny's is just perfect for breakfast and lunch, offering specialty coffees, lattes, French wines, cocktails, imported beer, and a touch of France. Guigny's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery in the Safeway Center at Prince and Campbell have now become Tucson's destination to dine in or to take out.
What organizations sponsor the news you see on TV? Do you think these sponsorships affect the news reports about their products? Do these same organizations sponsor politicians? If you recognize that our current leaders represent their own interests far more than yours, if you question the political theater you're fed every day, and if you question the approved narrative, become engaged for freedom in the Pima County Libertarian Party, no matter your political party preference.
Check out PimaLP.org or find us on Facebook. Paid for by the Pima County Libertarian Party.
Radio advertising busts through clutter and reaches your customers with immediacy.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Tell a creative story with intimacy and emotion to sell your products and services directly to your customer.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
With a cost-effective campaign, you can reach your customer over and over.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Ackerly Advertising has over 5 decades of radio advertising experience. Create demand and grow your business with radio.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. With me, Scott Stewart, treasurer of the Libertarian Party, the evolution of a libertarian. Got about 5 minutes here, four and a half. So summarize from the beginning to the end here. It's not the end, but
well,
to where we are today.
There are a number of events that got me active and involved, and we could go over those at some point, but they start with what happened in Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in 1972-73, go on to Ruby Ridge and Waco, and watching government get away with some really pretty criminal conduct. But a number of people have accused me over the years of tilting at windmills with my libertarian activism, and I would describe it differently. I would describe it as tilting at steamrollers. Hmm. There's a difference. Now, jousting with a steamroller isn't any more effective than jousting with a windmill, but the steamrollers are going to keep moving, so you've got to address them. And the trick is, well, which ones do you address? How do you address them? And what tactics do you use them? Now, I'm an engineer, so I'm more pragmatic than most ideologues are. One of the fights that we have in the Libertarian Party is whether you use matching funds or clean elections money. I'm always in favor of using it. I think we're just going to have to leave that argument for another show, because I think there's something more fundamental, and that goes back to the extremism that we were talking about a little bit during the break between the left and the right. The extremism drives out moderates. And you'll notice that the independents have been consistently growing, and the Republicans and Democrats have been consistently shrinking. And, they jockey back and forth, but you can pretty much count on more independents and less major party people. And I would argue to my friends who are independents who don't want to choose a major party, you've got to reengage. You've got to make sure that the center is represented. And even in the Libertarian Party, the independents who have more libertarian leanings but don't like the direction necessarily that the libertarians want to take in any given year, you know, come to the table and fight. Or if you're up for it, go to the Republican table or the Democratic table, and fight for more moderate views there as well.
Well, that's another thing too. I think as we go into the midterms, there is so much at stake in these particular elections. The direction of the government, the power, is whether it rests with one party or the other, I think can alter the country. We've seen that over the last 6 years, and we will see it again in the next 2 years of the Biden administration. But it seems to me, give me 3 points of the Libertarian Party that you think are the most important that you believe that either party, Democrat or Republican, ought to adopt to make this a stronger country. Just 3 quick points.
Oh, you want me to think on my feet quickly. So,
personal liberty is one, I'm sure.
Freedom of speech. Come on, the Democrats used to be great on that. Republicans, not so much. But the Republicans are the defenders of it now. They both need to consistently defend freedom of speech, not have platforms censor viewpoints that they disagree with.
30 seconds, go. Two more.
And self-defense. You know, everybody has a right to self-defense. The Republicans are better on it now. Democrats, not so much. But when we see the level of crime and riots in this country, everyone, men and women, have to have the ability to defend themselves.
All right, we're out of time, but we're going to come back and continue this conversation about libertarianism from a man who's had 50 years of experience.
Yep.
An evolution of tremendous progress, I would think. Thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, thank you, John.
You bet. Former Pima Community College Board member and treasurer of the Libertarian Party, Scott Stewart.
The Columbia Broadcasting System presents...
My name is Dark, Johnny Dark. Seems there was a murder. A dame was a prime suspect. A fan dancer named Kitty LaRue. There she was, decked out like a mannequin in a Macy's display window. Sophie, my receptionist, must have let her in.
Hello, Kitty.
Hello, Johnny.
So do you happen to know a mobster named Vinny Corolla? Seems he was murdered last night.
We ran around together. I haven't seen him in years.
So, no reason to get even, right? Well, you're lying.
What are you...
Last night, your drippings gave you away. The oil from your car was found in Vinny's driveway. We traced it back to Jerky Lou. You were there 2 days ago.
You got me, Johnny.
Yes, he confessed. We'll be right down, Chief.
Perfection Auto Works will make sure that your car or truck is not a stool pigeon. Call today, 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
Radio advertising busts through clutter and reaches your customers with immediacy.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Tell a creative story with intimacy and emotion to sell your products and services directly to your customer.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Your radio commercial puts you front and center in the listener's attention span.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Ackerly Advertising has over 5 decades of radio advertising experience. Stir emotion, create demand, and grow your business with radio.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. I want to thank Scott Stewart of the Libertarian Party. Always like to take a look at the third-party efforts as they continue in our political arena. Let's talk about the mayor's race, which is not till next year, and everybody's talking about the midterms and the election coming up this November. But there is an active campaign for mayor by probably one of the most qualified candidates I've ever known for mayor of Tucson, and I have followed the politics of Tucson, Arizona for 50 years. A half a century. So I know of what I speak out of the longevity.
And I think I've known you that long, too.
It's been a long time. I know your father so well, too.
Yeah.
He was a great man. Ed Ackerley's with me. Let's talk about your campaign. Where is it now as you look at the midterms and everybody else is paying attention to them?
Well, we're looking
not as much as attention as to the mayor's race.
We're looking really well. I think that, I learned a lot from 2019 and running kind of blind, not knowing exactly what I was in for and what we should be doing. And I think we've really got a great team of people. We're out in force. We are everywhere we can possibly be. I have 4 events today. I have three tomorrow. We are trying to make as many appearances as we can and get to know voters and let them know who I am. So I feel so much different. And that I wouldn't say the word better, but so much different this time running than I did last time.
I think a lot of people are really taking you seriously this time.
Yeah.
You know, there are two things that bother me, certainly, that are major issues facing the city of Tucson. First of all, it's water.
Right.
Many Arizona cities using the Colorado River water are preparing for the inevitability that they'll have to use less river water, and
right.
That's going to dramatically change the way we do things because we'll be dependent upon underground water more than we've ever been in the last couple of decades. And I don't think this city's ready for that. I don't think this city's prepared to deal with what might be the biggest crisis we would face in this early century.
Yeah, I think it's I call it the sleeper issue, but now it's rising to the forefront. Last time when I ran, you know, I kept saying that water was an issue we needed to pay attention to. We are fortunate in Tucson that we do have this water table under us that other municipalities don't necessarily have. In fact, we're storing water for Phoenix out in Avra Valley because of the great landscape that we have here. And, you know, it was just a few short years ago that we were down to about 4 years of water table water underneath us. And then over a period of a couple of decades, we've been able to bring that back up. There's about 75 years worth of water underneath us. So we do have a little bit of breathing room that the other municipalities don't have. But with the growth of population and the influx of people coming to Tucson, we have to have a plan in place to ensure clean, safe drinking water. And we have to address this continual problem down in the Ward 5 near the airport with the water that both the Air Force and Hughes at the time there were some problems down there, and people down there still are just, that's just a huge issue. And, you know, you can believe what you want to believe. They say it's all cleaned up, but people down there just don't believe it. So we've got to tackle that and address that issue.
All right. And the other thing I think that is really telling about this city is we don't have enough police officers.
No.
We have a crime rate that's rising. You can't pick up the paper without some violent story
that
calls upon us to wonder, really, how safe we are in our homes, having been a victim of a drive-through or, I guess, a home invasion myself, thinking I was very safe at my desk at 5 o'clock in the morning. I wasn't. The simple truth of the matter is a lot of people don't feel as safe in Tucson as they did before, and something ought to be done. That falls squarely on the shoulders of the city council and the mayor, as well as the city manager. What are we doing about that?
Well, it's their number one priority. The right in the city charter, public safety is the number one priority. And you just think about it. It doesn't make any sense to do anything else other than get the public safety right. My hat's off to Chief Cashmore. I think he's reorganized and tried to do a better job. But he has such limited resources. I met with him the other day, and he told me there was about 730 commissioned officers. But that includes about 75 that are both trainees and community service officers. So the actual police officer, the number I use is 643. And, you know, when Taz was the police chief just a few short years ago, we had over almost 1,200 police officers. We're down to almost half of that now. And the population has increased. And obviously the fentanyl problem and the homeless problem and other problems have increased. The murders have increased. We just can't do it with 600 police officers. We need 1,000 police officers by 2025, and we need to go up from there, and we need to do whatever it takes to make our city safe. And I just don't think it's right that my wife should drive up to the gas station and have to step over a few people to pump her gas and be assaulted while she walks in to pay her bill. It's just not the Tucson that I grew up in. I don't think it's right. And I think enforcement is the big issue, and we need to get some more police officers on the street.
I was never a fan of the red light cameras. I still am not. But what we believed would take their place would be patrol officers trying to stop people from running red lights and speeding down the major thoroughfares or even in the neighborhoods as if there was no police, and there are no police, and no one's doing anything about the traffic situation. I see people running red lights every damn day of my life.
And the speeding,
and one of them's gonna hit me,
speeding is out of control, too.
Yeah, and it just seems to me, okay, fine, I didn't like the red light cameras, but we wanted at least to have police presence to at least control some of the misguided drivers that threaten each and every one of us every single day.
I drive down Speedway frequently, and it is nice to see that Chief Cashmore has two teams of bicycle cops out now again. They were all on ice for a while, but now they're back out. He's got two of the four that they had in service, so hopefully the other two will come back. But, man, we got to stop this speeding. This is killing people, and it's causing wrecks. We have about four or five wrecks a day now, and you know, that's just because people are speeding and looking at their phone, and we got to enforce the laws that say you can't do that.
All right, we're still letting people ride the buses for free. What are we going to do after the first of the year when the federal money runs out?
I think that's an interesting question, John. We're giving away free bus rides, and the shock to those people that have been getting them is going to be interesting. And if the city council then makes the decision that they're going to fund it some way through general funds or something like that, I think is a mistake. I think we need to take care of people that need some help, but we also... you know, that public transport system has been a thorn in many people's sides for a long time. We got to provide some work, but are we going to try and go with free bus rides for forever? And is the city council going to spend money that should be going to the police and fire? Are we going to spend that on free bus rides? It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, I have a bus driver in my neighborhood, and I talk to him from time to time at the mailbox. And he says to me, I am a moving mobile homeless camp.
Yep.
I've got people who are drunk, smelly, right. You know, and homeless, riding the bus every day in my air-conditioned vehicle.
Right.
And causing all kinds of discomfort for people who just want the transportation to get to where they need to go. He said, I'm so sick of it, I don't like this job anymore.
That's ironic.
He used to love it.
Ironic that you would say that. I was at a tailgate party at the U of A, and a bus driver came up to me and told me that was his main issue, is this free bus stuff has just caused him to just hate his job anymore, and is there anything I can do to help him clean up that? And I think... you know, a small fare to everybody, I think that's fair, and it will keep that those people that are using it for a portable air conditioner. Now, we need to take care of them another way, but it shouldn't be on the city buses.
Let me know what's going on with your campaign at the moment.
Well, we're doing good. On Monday, we have anybody interested in helping. We're putting together a volunteer drive to get over 5,000 signatures. Our first meeting is Friday at 5. If anybody wants to know about that, they can look me up and get involved in that. And then where money's coming in. So we're doing pretty good. I feel really good, John. We're on a roll, and I think we're going to do real well this time.
How do people join your campaign?
They can just go on the web at AckerlyForMayor.com, and they can get all the information they need.
Ingrid's a caller, and Ingrid, you are with Ed Ackerley, independent candidate for mayor.
Good luck in your endeavor.
Thank you.
I hope that whoever wins does a good job. The reason I'm calling... has to do with the number of people involved in the bureaucracy that runs the bus system.
Right.
When, as a matter of fact, we've been getting free rides for a long time now.
Right.
And I'm wondering, just what is it that all those employees are doing, polishing their fingernails in the office? If we don't charge come December 31st,
right,
these people need to be eliminated. I don't mean just from the positions that they have and put someplace else just to collect a paycheck, but to get fired the way you do in the private sector. Sorry, we don't need you anymore. Goodbye.
Right.
Maybe it sounds cruel, but that's life.
Yeah, well, we've hired a city manager, Michael Ortega. His job is to manage the 5,000 employees. And you know, when I become mayor, it's going to be clear that the priority is going to be public safety number one, public safety number two, and public safety number three, and then the rest of it flows from that. And you know, he's got to get a handle on the finances. He does a pretty good job right now, but you know, it's all policy from the council that dictates what happens. And free bus fare comes from the council, not from the city manager. So we gotta fix that.
You know, obviously, this is a campaign that's going to require money. The last campaign, when we have our incumbent mayor, she's got about $1 million in independent funding. We've never seen the likes of that. I've always said you had to have a asterisk by her name, because we've never seen third-party money in that form.
Amazing.
In that amount that was thrown into the campaign. It's the reason she won. I don't think there's any doubt about that. How would you combat that again yourself?
Well, I think you just got to be the best candidate you can possibly be with the best ideas and show leadership. I think what's missing amongst the council is leadership and focused leadership on public safety. And I think we have to get that message out to the electorate and make sure those people that are going to go to the polls or go to their kitchen table and vote know who Ed Ackerley is and know what I stand for and know that we're about doing the fundamentals. I played football. And the way you win football games is the fundamentals, and the way you lead cities is do the fundamentals really well.
And a lot of people don't realize you're a college professor as well.
I am. I teach at the Eller College of Business, been there for 30 years, and have that great experience of having that. But I also have an advertising agency, so I have both sides. I have an independent company that we've had for 54 years, and then I've been at the college for 30 years.
You know, speaking of that, I do not think that Tucson presents itself well to the rest of this country or the world. We lose millions of dollars because we do not promote ourselves. I would think that would be a place to look for investment in our future.
Yeah, I think that curb appeal is one of the most important things we can do right off the bat. We just got to clean up this town. If you drive around, it's just messy, and there's stuff on medians. I know we contract that out to people, but we can do a better job. Yeah, you know, I always use the analogy that if you're having a party, you clean up your house before the guests come over. Well, we're having a party full-time, and we're inviting people in to consider maybe having a company headquartered here or whatever. And we haven't cleaned up the house before the party begins, and it just looks like it's a rundown, and we've got to do a much better job of curb appeal.
And you know another thing, how do you get the homeless off the intersections?
Well, I will say that, the police chief has implemented a kind of a quiet plan to remove the homeless from the medians. They're not allowed to be on the medians. That doesn't mean they can't be on the street corners and other public places, but we got to get them off the medians. It's just too dangerous. And so that's happening now. I think we have to just have enforcement. What they do in Scottsdale and other places is the people that hand the $20 bill out the window who think they're helping, think they're giving somebody a hand up or a help up, what they're really doing is just exacerbating the problem. We've got to enforce the no panhandling on city public private public property, and then other people have to do that on private property because we got to send them to the places where they can get some help and they can get some housing, they can get some rehab and those types of things. Handing a $20 bill out the window to somebody doesn't fix the problem. Matter of fact, it makes it worse. And other municipalities just, they ticket the person that gave the money, not the person that gets it.
All right, finally, one last time, how people can help the Ed Ackerley campaign.
Well, I need 300 people to give me $10. So if you go online to Ackerley for Mayor and give me a $10 donation, that is the matching funds for the Clean Candidate Program. And then we're starting to pick up signatures starting on Monday.
Ed Ackerley, good to talk with you. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, John.
Candidate for Mayor Ed Ackerley. Back in a moment, we'll be talking with Larry Bodine of the Democrats of Greater Tucson. Now this. Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in Arizona. Homestyle Galleries saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Ina Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture.
Are you tired of yelling at the TV when news about politics comes on? I know I am. This is Larry Bodine, President of Democrats of Greater Tucson. It's time to activate yourself by joining us and helping to elect Democrats. Simply Google Democrats of Greater Tucson and click on Join Now. Don't just sit on the couch. Activate yourself today with Democrats of Greater Tucson.
From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. The following is a presentation of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, who are responsible for the content of this broadcast segment. Here is the president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, Larry Bodine. Hi, Larry. Welcome to the show.
Well, hello, John. How's it going today?
It's going well. Thank you. What's up for the DGT?
My gosh, we have so many programs and meetings coming up. The next one is going to be on October 3rd, Monday at noon, and we're going to have Congressman Tom O'Halloran, who is running for re-election in this brand-new Congressional District 1. It's this giant rural district that's 60,000 square miles in the north and east part of Arizona. 25% of the population is Native American, and he's going to be speaking to us on October 3 at noon. That's Tom O'Halloran. Just go to thedgt.org or Google Democrats of Greater Tucson, and you'll find it. And then we're going to follow it up on October 10th with a program by Representative Pam Powers Hanley, and she is going to explain all 10 propositions on the ballot. You know, there's so many propositions, I'm afraid that voters are going to get completely confused. But if you go to thedgt.org or just Google Democrats of Greater Tucson, you'll see our program with Pam. And we've already set out brief advice, if that's all you want. For instance, you should really vote no on almost everything that the legislature has put on the ballot, with the exception of yes on Prop 211. That's the one that stops dark money and makes them reveal where the money comes from. But no on things like 128. It would let the legislature overthrow a voter-approved initiative, or 129, which would delay and discourage citizens' initiatives. And the same thing, no on 132. It requires a 60% supermajority of voters to pass any initiative. And these are just part of the voter suppression activities of the Republicans. And I got to tell you, I was going door to door just this morning and afternoon, and voter rights is something that the voters care about. I knocked on a lot of doors, talked to people, and they agreed with me that this election is really important. It's only about 6 weeks away, but democracy's on the line, and people are concerned with the taking away of reproductive rights and the fact that the Republicans have just impoverished public schools. So to find out more about that, just go to thedgt.org. DGT stands for Democrats of Greater Tucson, and just Google Democrats of Greater Tucson, and you'll find all this information.
The 26th, which is Monday, what's up for the DGT?
We're taking a day off. It's Rosh Hashanah, and we'll be back on the 1st.
All right, so obviously Halloran will be one of the prime attractions for people, yes, who want to go in and get to know him, if they don't already know him. Also, because it's an interactive experience, and that's what makes it great. You can become a part of the show, not just as a spectator, but as a participant, which makes it, I think that's one of the reasons that you've grown by leaps and bounds with the Democrats of Greater Tucson. It's been an amazing success story for you.
Well, John, thank you so much. We have more members, more programs, more money in the bank than we've ever had. And a lot of it is because, you know, we book candidates that people care about. And you come on, it's on Zoom, and when you come on the program, you have an opportunity to raise your hand or put a question in the chat, and you'll get an answer. So this is your chance to get an answer from people elected to federal office, to state office, local candidates. Everybody is open for questions, and people really like it. We get more and more and more attendees at every meeting.
Well, you're one of the great reasons that it has been such an enormous success. But thanks for being with us, Larry Bodine. It's great to talk with you. Have a great weekend. Thanks for spending part of yours with us.
All right. Thank you, John.
You bet. The proceedings have been a presentation of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, who are responsible for the content of this broadcast segment. We featured Larry Bodine, president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, former delegate to the Democratic National Convention, one of the writers for Blog for Arizona, and an extremely active Democrat who was an award-winning journalist for the New York Daily News and is a lawyer. All kinds of attributes for Larry Bodine. I want to thank Mike Emery for sponsoring our show. Go to Perfection Auto Works. Have a great weekend, everyone. Thanks for listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum.
If there ever was a time to get active in local politics, it's right now. This is Larry Bodine, president of Democrats of Greater Tucson. I'm calling on you to activate yourself by joining us and helping to elect Democrats. Just Google Democrats of Greater Tucson and click on Join Now. You'll be part of a dynamic organization of activists. Don't miss this chance to make a difference. Activate yourself today with Democrats of Greater Tucson.
It was a dark age. It was a time of war. Deception. Men preyed upon the weak. There was no order, no king. However, a miracle happened. In Midtown, a wrench in stone above an anvil appeared, wherein letters of gold proclaimed, "Whosoever removes the wrench from the stone has found the age-old quest for royal coach service." Many tried, but no one could remove the wrench until one day.
Who's that young lad at the wrench? And who does he think he is?
He hasn't a chance. You dreamer!
I can't believe it. How did he do it?
I had my coach serviced at Perfection Auto Works. It was Excalibur. The common man can now become royalty.
And so it came to pass that the people's desire for perfection was quenched. Perfection Auto Works, 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.